perpetuation of the greatness of the Raiders to take a professional football team and give it a distinct characteristic that's different from all others. What up, Raider Nation? Welcome to another edition of Black Hole Banner. Yes, it is a victory Monday. The Raiders found themselves back into the victory column, thankfully. This is James, and as always, I am joined by your boy Q. Say what's up, man.
What up, Raider Nation? We are back, like James said, talking about a victory. The Raiders come away with the 31-28 win over the Jets, and it was improbable. It was ugly at times. It was, you know, not the most thing of beauty, but it was a win. It was a win, and again, it was a win.
Absolutely. And it was a win. So we are doing a victory Monday. It was not the prettiest of wins. It was not the most exciting of wins. In fact, it was probably one of the least exciting wins given who the opponent was. But at the end of the day, that's all that matters in terms of the win-loss column. When you get into the playoffs or don't get into the playoffs, they don't look at how close the wins were, how ugly they were, or how pretty they were. So at that end, it doesn't matter how they won. It does matter a little bit, though, how they played, right? And so we're going to talk about that today, because the fact of the matter is, if the Raiders played the way they did against the Jets in any of the games left on this schedule, they're probably not going to win. The Jets are one of the worst teams in the NFL this season. In fact, they're one of the worst teams to have played an NFL game in a number of seasons. They are pathetically bad, and the Raiders got pretty lucky at the end of the game with a horrific call by Greg Williams, one that actually eventually got him fired today. So, you know, it's one of those things. A win is a win. Absolutely. I will take every win I can get. As a Raiders fan, I have not seen nearly enough wins in my lifetime. So I'm going to take it. But I'm also going to sit here and expect a lot more. I'm not going to be content just because the Raiders slipped by a very bad team, because they're not going to be able to slip by better teams the way they did on Sunday. So a win is a win. I'm happy. I'm excited for it. I'm happy that the schedule, or that the win-loss record got improved, that we didn't have a humiliating loss, because it sure as shit looked like it was about to be. But again, I'm also demanding more of this team, because I know this team can give more.
Yeah, they can. I mean, they're a lot better team than they showed on Sunday. They're a lot better team than they showed the Sunday before against the Falcons. You know, I mean, they've gone toe-to-toe with some of the best teams in the league, including the Saints, including the Chiefs, the Bills. Obviously, they lost that game. But, I mean, they've won games. Even Cleveland, who's looking really good right now, we're able to win that game. But, you know, ultimately, at the end of the day, you just look for W's and L's, and that's all that matters. You want to have more W's than you have L's. And right now, the Raiders do, 7-5. And, you know, hopefully they start to build on that. Not start to build on it, because it's too late in the season to start to build, but they improve, like you mentioned, because they got to be a lot better. I mean, that what you saw on Sunday is not playoff football, but it is football to win a game against a team that, well, it didn't have any wins and could help you get to the playoffs. Now, you got a lot of work to do, but we said going into this, at least I said going into that game against the Jets, you've got to find 4 wins out of 5 weeks on the schedule. Well, they got one down. Now they got 3 more to go, and that still doesn't guarantee that they'll make the playoffs, but at least it'll give them a fighting chance.
Yeah, because if you're paying attention, all the teams that the Raiders are, you know, chasing right now for the wild card, they also won this weekend. Yep. So it is going to be very tough competition. It's going to be tough sledding for this Raiders team to get in. Like you said, they're going to have to win three of their next four, if not all of the next four, which is a tough proposition, because this is the NFL, and you know that any given Sunday, any team can get a win. But these are also games that the Raiders have the ability to win. You know, you mentioned building on it, right? And you corrected yourself. You don't want to build on it. I think that's accurate, because I think that we are past that stage, right? The Raiders don't need to build on that win. They need to get back to the way they were playing just a couple of weeks ago. Remember, it was not that long ago. It was just before that Falcons game, where a lot of people were talking about the Raiders as one of the hotter teams in the league. Yes, it was coming off of a loss to the Chiefs, but it was coming off a loss where the Raiders had pushed the Chiefs damn near to the end, and after they had already beaten the Chiefs once this year. And so it really was not that long ago when not just Raiders fans, but NFL talking heads, if you're watching NFL Network or ESPN or listening to podcasts, the Raiders were starting to get a lot of attention. They were starting to get a lot of focus because of the fact that they were playing so well. And so it's not a matter of needing to build off it. I feel like that's something that we talked about a lot over the past years, because the team was building and they weren't there yet, right? We didn't know how good they can be. We didn't see them prove that they could be really good. And so we needed more building off of small wins like this. Here, we just need the Raiders to get their heads out of their asses and start playing like we know they can.
Right, exactly. And that's that's something that they got to work on. And they got to get some guys back. And I'm not going to use injury as an excuse, because either way you look at it, man, you play with the guys that you got. And at this time of season, nobody's really 100% healthy. So, I mean, you hope that you have your main guys there. If they're there, great. If not, well, someone else has got to step up and play a role. And, the Raiders found a way to get it done on Sunday and just give themselves a chance. And that's all you could really ask for as a Raider fan. And you mentioned, how much the national media and a lot of Raider Nation was excited about that loss to the Chiefs. It's funny to me to see that on Monday following a win, regardless of what it looked like, there was more people upset about the loss, or more people upset about the win than they were about the loss to the Chiefs, where I've never ever come out of a loss and said, oh man, that was a great loss, and oh man, that one win stunk so bad I'm not even excited about it. Look, I'd much rather have an ugly win than a pretty loss any day of the week and twice on Sunday. So you just take them how they come. It's the NFL. It's never easy. Talked to Hunter Renfrow earlier today, and he was just saying how difficult it is to win in the NFL, and that it's one of those things, man. You go in any given Sunday, is not college football, man. These guys get paid too. They're professionals. They want to win. And I mentioned it last week multiple times. The Jets did not want to be that team that goes 0-for. And right now they're sitting at 0-12. So they're a handful of games away from being another team to go 0-for of the season. And they don't want that, man. They got pride. So at the end of the day, man, I mean, I know Raider Nation wants more. I want more. James wants more. But either way you look at it, man, 7-5 is 7-5. No matter how you shine it up, they won by 400 or they won by 1 point or they won the last play of the game. It doesn't matter. A dub's a dub.
Yeah, and let me speak to that for a second, because I'm one of those people, right? I felt worse after this win than I did after the loss to the Chiefs. And you're 100% right. I will take an ugly win over a pretty loss every day of the week and twice on Sunday, hands down. But here's the thing about expectations. They're a funny little thing, right? When your expectations rise, you have different standards. And so the fact of the matter is, for me at least, the Raiders have shown through that win against Kansas City and through the loss against Kansas City just how damn well they can play. And so the loss, though incredibly painful, it made me feel good about the chances, because if they started playing like that regularly, there wasn't a team outside of the Chiefs who was going to compete with them. And that's a really, really big deal. And similarly, after the Falcons game, we knew that if they continued to play like that, they might lose to a horrible Jets team. And they damn near did. And so it's one of those things in the NFL, momentum matters, right? How a team is playing at a crucial time of the year matters.
Yep.
You look at teams who have made playoff runs despite barely making it into the playoffs, that's because they got hot at the right time. And so, yes, absolutely, I will always take an ugly win over a pretty loss, but I am also going to come away from an ugly win against a team like the Jets concerned, because these kinds of things can carry over from week to week. They can be a trend. They can lead a bad end to the season. And the Raiders can't do that if they want to make the playoffs, right? They can't wait to get hot when they're in the playoffs. They need to get hot now. And win, hopefully, will spur it. But again, if they play like they did against the Jets, I don't know that they're beating anyone left on their schedule.
No, you're right. And the Raiders are lucky that they played the Jets on Sunday. They're lucky that they weren't playing the Colts, or they weren't playing Miami, or they weren't playing the Chargers, or they weren't playing Denver. I mean, yeah, you're absolutely right. But, you look across the landscape of the NFL and you see, the Giants beat the Seattle Seahawks. I guarantee the Seahawks rather be the Raiders today. I guarantee the Seahawks rather be a team that won by the hair on their chinny-chin-chin than losing to the Giants, who stink, who are an absolute awful team, and they don't look very good.
The Giants without Danny Dimes.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, they had a backup quarterback in, and they got a dub, You look at the Chiefs and the Broncos from Sunday Night Football, even though I had to watch it in Spanish. I know that the Broncos almost came away with the victory. Now, I mean, it's not horseshoes, so almost doesn't count, but, I mean, it's just the nature of the beast when it comes to the NFL, man. It's just any given Sunday. The thing about it is, you're 100% right. The Raiders need to know that, hey, we escaped with that victory. We got lucky there. Sometimes it's better to be lucky than good. And now we really need to step our game up, because if not, we're not going to get lucky twice. You play with fire enough times, you're going to get burned.
All right, before we get down to break into this game, I need to know why you were watching Sunday Night Football in Spanish.
Because some reason DirecTV is having some beef with NBC, and so it blocked out the channel, and it said that you know, I don't know, we don't have it, and so they said your alternate is to watch it on channel 410. So I went to 410, and it was in Spanish, and I said, "Are you kidding me?" And so I put out a tweet about it, and DirecTV had the nerve and the stones to actually respond to me and say, "Well, right now we're having a, you know, a dispute with Tegna. I guess that's the owner," and they said, "We intend on getting it back on at some point, but right now, you know, we can't do anything about it. But here's a link so you can kind of look at some of your, you know, some options or you know, some options for credits." And so my response was like, is that what we're really talking about right now? We're talking about my options and credits, and is that what happens when the bill comes up and I got to pay it? Do I say, well, you know, I intend on paying it, but right now I currently cannot. So here are some thoughts that you can have on different ways to maintain my service, but you'll get paid at some other point. Like, hell no. Like, when the bill's due, y'all want me to pay it. And so when I pay it, I expect to get my services that I'm paying for. And Sunday Ticket and DirecTV is not cheap. And so on Sunday, I had to watch the damn game. Luckily, I mean, I don't understand Spanish at all, but I understand the game of football, so I was able to follow along, no doubt about it. And I will admit, the announcers were actually a lot better than Al Michaels and Chris Collinsworth were. They were actually, you know, a lot of fun to kind of listen to. So I did watch the game in Spanish, but I'm still a little bent out of shape that I had to do that, because I shouldn't have had to do that.
That's crazy. And you pay for Sunday Ticket too. That's absurd. Exactly. I really don't understand why the NFL is like this sometimes with their TV. Like, you should want as many people watching as possible, and the more options you give them to watch, the more likely you're going to get viewers. Like, the fact that the fucking Pittsburgh game wasn't on TV today is mind-boggling to me. I'm sitting here, you know, doing my work at home, working from home, and you could have given me a perfect excuse to avoid doing my work and watch football instead, but you didn't. So then I had to actually be productive at work today.
See, and that's funny. Race football. That's funny, because I actually got that game today. I'm actually watching that game.
Wild. Unreal. NFL's got to get their shit together.
Yes.
But that's not Raiders football. Let's talk Raiders football. You know, I think overall, the thing that bothered me the most about this win is it felt like it was kind of a group effort in trying to lose despite getting the win, right? I felt like there's a lot of blame to fall around, with the exception of one man, the great Darren Waller, who had an absolutely insanely beast of a day. The kind of day we all know he's capable of having. The kind of day that clearly Greg Williams did not know he was capable of having, because despite time and time again balling on this Jets defense, they refuse to double him. And it's just mind-boggling why they did that, but I'm happy they did, because Waller had a career day. I mean, not just a career day for himself, which it was, but I mean, this was like an all-time day for tight ends. He found himself on a number of different lists for all-time single-game performances among tight ends. So big shout-out to Darren Waller. He put the Raiders on his back, and is a major reason why they were able to come away with that ugly win.
Yeah, without Darren Waller's 13 catches and 200 yards and 2 TDs, they don't win that game. I mean, no doubt about it. The Raiders weren't able to run the ball very well. Devontae Booker said that the Jets loaded the box, which they did. He said 8, 9, 10 guys in the box. That's hard to run against, you know, and that's what they were doing consistently to slow down the run game. At some point, if I'm Greg Williams, and this is probably another reason why he got fired, besides the cover zero, you know, all-out blitz on that last play to Henry Ruggs, you know, you got to get out of that and say, hey, well, this big tight end is destroying us and is just having his way with our secondary, so we got to get out of that and do something different. We got to make an adjustment, and they did not do that. So, you got to give Darren Waller a lot of props, but you're right, man. The Raiders, at some point, finally took control of that game, got up 11 points in the third quarter, and then John Gruden decided he was going to, you know, not take the foot off the gas, but just, okay, now I think the run game is going to work now, so let's go ahead and go to the run game instead of doing what got them there. I was very angry, and usually I'm pretty supportive of Gruden, but I was very angry that he didn't just keep riding with what got him there to get up at least a little bit more. Man, I was thinking you got to get up at least, you know, 14, 18, 20 points before you start to go to the ground and pound, where you're trying to, you know, you're trying to take the air out of the game. I understand his philosophy on that, but I think he went to it just a little early.
Yeah, I think there were a lot of problems yesterday with John Gruden's play calling. You know, there were some errors on the field in terms of execution, some passes that were dropped, some wide open receivers that were missed. But at the end of the day, what was it? It was three or four times in the third quarter the Raiders went three and out.
Yeah.
That is absolutely unacceptable. And that, in my mind, goes as much on the play caller as anyone else. I mean, it was just all over the place. It wasn't making any kind of sense. I get what you were saying about, you know, he went back to the try and go to ground pound late in the game. But also, I felt like he abandoned the run too quickly early in the game. It was almost like he allowed that Jets defense to dictate to him. The strength of that Jets defense is run defense. The right. strength of the Raiders offense is supposed to be run offense. And it was almost like Gruden allowed them to dictate how he was going to play the game. Because I can't remember what the stat was, but like, through the first quarter, I think the Raiders had only rushed the ball like four times, or maybe it was more than just the first quarter, but it was just, it was all over the place with the play calling. I don't think Gruden put his players in a position to succeed on offense. It was the second week in a row where I really didn't understand what he was trying to get done with the play calling. It was really, really frustrating. And so, you know, I feel like, again, we have 2 weeks in a row where the loss, in my opinion, falls heavily on John Gruden. Like, I know that Derek Carr had all the turnovers last week, but at the end of the day, like I said, I don't think Gruden put Derek Carr in a position to succeed. And I feel like that happened again this week. And I also feel like 2 weeks in a row, the Raiders came out kind of lifeless, kind of dead when they were taking on bad opponents. And again, you ask me, that is 100% on the coach. If he's able to get these guys up and so fired up that they're playing so competitively with the Chiefs two games this season, with the Bears in London the other year, you know, you see there are big games that John Gruden is very fired up for and he gets his team to buy in. But then he also can't get his team to buy in against the Jags last season or the Jets this season, you know, or the Jets last season for that matter, or the Falcons this season. It's really kind of troublesome to me that Gruden seems to have a hard time, you know, getting his team to play consistently at a high level. It's a team that plays down to the competition that isn't as good and up to the competition that's better. And that's just not how you're going to win. You need to play consistently. You need to play that high level no matter who you are playing. And I right now, John Gruden needs to show me that he's able to get his team to do that.
Yeah, and you know, with that being said, I don't know the last time that a Raiders team did that anyway. You know what I mean? Like, that to me feels like the MO of a Raiders team in general. They always play up and down and always up to the level of their competition or down to the level. And I've always thought that that was a big mistake, but that's years on end. You know what I mean? Like, that to me feels like that's something that's been going on for years on top of years on top of years with the Raiders. And I know that, you know, Gruden plays a role in that, but I just kind of think that's the MO of the Raiders. You know, it's something about, they just play down to teams that aren't very good. And you know, of course, they had some guys injured. Josh Jacobs being out was major. I think Jonathan Abram being out was major. Trent Brown, obviously, has been out most of the season. That's been major. I mean, there's a lot of things that, you know, go into that. I think that the play calling was fine early on. I think that interception that Derek Carr threw, that was part on him, part on Henry Ruggs. Henry Ruggs later put the ball on the ground and fumbled. That was on him. He was having a bad day until he wasn't, until he got that touchdown catch at the end. Again, like I said, I thought the play calling early was fine. I mean, the Jets, they're good at stopping the run. So Derek Carr and the Raiders went to passing the ball to try to open up the run game, and it worked. I mean, the run game started to click a little bit in the third quarter, but then I feel like he abandoned the pass completely. I think Derek Carr was at like 31 passes going into the third quarter, and then at the end of the third quarter, he was at like 35. You know what I mean? Like, he had completely gone away from passing, and that's what was getting it done. Hell, if it was up to me, man, Darren Waller would have had like 25 catches on the day if he had to. You know what I mean? Just, I didn't think that the run game was going to be able to get it done for the Raiders on Sunday. And I you know, he just went back to it. And I felt like I said, he went back to it too early.
Yeah, so let's talk about Ruggs a little bit since you brought him up. I agree with everything you're saying on on Gruden. And I think we've covered that. Gruden needs to get better. So let's move on. Henry Ruggs, man, a horrible, horrible start to the day. That interception, you said it a little bit on Carr, a little bit on Ruggs. I'm putting it more on Ruggs than Carr. Yes, the pass was not great. Yes, the pass was a little bit high and behind him, but it hit him on the hands. And if you ask me, if you're getting paid millions of dollars and your number one job is to catch the ball, when it hits you on the hands, you catch that goddamn ball. And so in my mind, that was more on Ruggs than Carr. The fumble was obviously all on Ruggs.
Yeah.
And so this is a guy who we've been looking to get more from. We've been hoping to get more from week in and week out. And then he has these two disastrous plays, and it's feeling damn near desperate in terms of, you know, when are we going to get something out of this rookie? And then at the time you need it the absolute most, He breaks it deep for the touchdown to win the game. Yes, it was against a horrible play call by Greg Williams. Yes, it was against a corner who was an undrafted rookie who really, you know, is a borderline NFL talent. This guy was cut from the Jets roster earlier in the season, brought back because of injuries, undrafted rookie, shouldn't have been out there covering him. But whatever, you still got to make the play, right? You still got to get him to bite on the fake. You still got to catch the ball when it's in the air. You still got to make the play. And so while I don't know that for me, it necessarily makes up for the earlier mistake, considering the fact that it was a little bit of a gimme play. What I think is really, 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 really important about this is the way Ruggs celebrated, right? Because this is the type of play that, again, all that other shit aside, this is the kind of play that can really jumpstart a player who's been struggling a little bit. This is the kind of play that can give him confidence, the kind of play that can make him, you know, better throughout the rest of the season because he's starting to feel himself a little bit. So, you know, I think there is a lot of significance to that touchdown, not only in getting the win, but hopefully in what we see from Ruggs going on, because hopefully this will be a spark plug for that young kid.
Yeah, exactly. That's my biggest takeaway. I mean, look, the guy came from Alabama. That's a winning a program. Nick Saban will coach you hard. And so, obviously, he's been coached up really, really hard. And there's a reason why the Raiders go and get guys from Clemson, go and get guys from Alabama. I mean, they just know that those guys are coached up. They're winners. They expect to be winners. They expect to make deep runs in the playoffs each and every year. It's just who they are. You know, that's how the Raiders are building their team. And I'm okay with that. And you mentioned it. Henry Ruggs was having a bad day. No doubt about it. You know, and instead of hanging his head and dwelling on it and worrying about the last drop, he flushed it. He cleared it and said, you know what, damn it, I'm going to go out here and make this play. And he did make that play. I mean, when Carr overthrew Nelson Aguilar, I thought, okay, the game's a wrap. You know, that was your one shot. There's no way you get behind the defense twice on, you know, on back-to-back plays. Just no way. And for him to go out there and make that play and get behind the DB and make the play, regardless if it looked like it was easy or not, man, there is nothing more pressure, no more pressure that you're ever going to have on a guy. And then when that ball is up there in the sky and looks like it's taking forever, like it's a damn punt, and it's coming down, and you know what's on the line, and you just got to make that play. And he made that play with ease. I mean, he made it like it was no problem. You know, he flushed everything that had gone on earlier in the game. And I do think that this could be what Raider Nation's been waiting for. Now, I mean, I'm not just going to anoint him and say, okay, here comes the breakout, and now you're going to see who Henry Ruggs really is. But this could be the jumping off point, you know. And why I say that, I don't just say it just to, you know, pull something out of my backside and just throw it against the wall and hope it sticks. But if you think back to Hunter Renfrow, excuse me, his rookie year, when they played against the Texans in Houston, the Raiders lost that game. But that was the first game that Hunter Renfrow got a touchdown catch in. He caught that ball, and he turned and basically almost did a wheel route just about and took it to the house, and it was a long run, and everyone's like, damn, I didn't know Hunter had like wheels like that.
60 yards.
Yeah, it was big time. And you know, the thing about it was that was his first touchdown catch, and he knew. I remember talking to him in the locker room after that game. He said, hey, we lost this game. There's things that we left out there on the field. We should have done better. We could do better, including myself. I'm going to learn from this now. Now that I got that touchdown catch, it's almost like, you know, okay, I'm an NFL player. I'm an NFL guy. Now that Henry Ruggs has got that big-time play under his belt and came up with a huge play where everyone's talking about it and saying, hey, man, this dude and that speed is finally starting to show off, that might be almost him just arriving in the NFL. Now, of course, he's got to go out there and do it, you know, each and every week, and especially the stretch run for the Raiders this, you know, this regular season as they try to make the playoffs. But I do believe that he's going to be a much bigger factor in the offense moving forward, and I think they need him to be a much bigger factor in this offense moving forward.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the Hunter Renfrow comparison is really apt for a couple reasons. Number one, it already speaks to what we've spoken to, which is the idea of the confidence that the player himself can get, right? When you're struggling a little bit, finding the end zone is a great way to get you out of those struggles, a great way to build your confidence, great way to feel good about yourself. But it's also a great way to get others to feel good about you, to get others to believe in you, right? Henry Ruggs makes that play, and suddenly Carr and Gruden are thinking about throwing him the ball a little more often, right? He drops that play. They're not going back to his ass again, but he makes that play. And so now Gruden and Carr have a little more confidence in him. They're understanding a little bit more that they can trust him a little bit more. And so those kinds of things matter, right? So who knows what will happen, but hopefully this is a jumping point for Hunter Renfrow. We already know the GOAT doesn't need a jumping point. He's the greatest of all time. But a jumping point for Henry Ruggs. And you mentioned Clemson earlier. This is a great segue. Another jumping point, another game that hopefully is going to turn into more great games, was Cleveland Furl.
Yep.
This man
really came out and balled. And I know the Jets offensive line isn't very good, but he was going up against Mekhi Becton most of the time, who is very good. That man has been beasting this season. Now, I will say that apparently Ferrell said that he saw Becton a lot in college. He kind of knew him a little bit better, and so that helped him. So hopefully this isn't a fluky thing that he just happens to know this one player very well. But if you watch the film, I mean, he looked like a beast all game long. It wasn't just a couple of fluke plays here and there. He was really pushing the pocket most of the game. So I think this is really, really significant. I think he had already started to improve. I think he was getting more pressures. I mean, I think I could be wrong on this, but I think he has the same number of pressures as Crosby. No, he doesn't have the sacks, obviously. But he has been improving his pass rush. It's been getting better. And so this looked like the game where he kind of put it all together. This looked like the game where he went from the Arden Key of getting into the backfield but not doing anything once you're back there to the Max Crosby of getting in the backfield and wreaking havoc. So, you know, again, it was one game, and he had that game last year. What was against? I think it was against Denver, or maybe it was Chargers or whatever, where he had a bunch of sacks against a backup tackle. That felt like an illusion. This one does not. This feels like a very good game and the kind of game you build off of and get better at. So this, you know, I'm hopeful for Henry Ruggs building off of it. I'm excited for Cleveland Ferrell building off of it, because I think that this game was a culmination of a lot of work that he's put in this season and a lot of improvement he's made this season, but he wasn't quite there. And maybe hopefully this is the game where he got there and continues to get there.
Yeah, I agree. And you know, I think Ferrell, you know, he really has had a quiet but really good season, in my opinion. I'll say like this, and I'll put it out there, and Raider Nation might not agree with me, and that's okay, but I think that Cleve Ferrell is the best defensive lineman that the Raiders have. I mean, and I'm just going to throw it out there. I know Max Crosby is the guy that's got the numbers. He's got 6 sacks on the season. And yes, that's good. I'm glad that he's got 6, and I know he had 10 his rookie year. I get that. And I love Max Crosby. Think he's a hell of a player. I just think that as far as well-rounded and all-around player, Cleve Ferrell is the guy. You know, he does a lot better in the run game than Max does. And, you know, he's coming around in the passing game. But I think as far as setting the edges, I think you see when he's out how important it is that he's there. And, you know, he's going to, I believe, going to continue to grow. And, you know, now obviously he's got to do better and continue to do better. And it can't be just a one-off thing. He's got to be consistent. And the run defense was terrible for everybody on the Raiders on Sunday, and that needs to be improved. You give 200 yards on the ground to the Colts, lights are out. You give 200 yards to the Chargers, lights are out. You give 200 yards to the Broncos, lights are out. I mean, so on and so forth. You can't do that. You know, of course, you can get away with that again against the Jets. But I will say, I like what Cleve Ferrell brings to the table, and I have no problem putting it on the show that I think he's the best defensive lineman that the Raiders have right now.
Yeah, I'm not sure I'm going to go there with you. I would probably still give the edge to Crosby. And actually, now that I think about it, you know, to be perfectly honest, I might give the edge to Hankins. Hankins has been an unspoken, very good player for the Raiders this season. He just doesn't do anything sexy because he does the dirty work in the middle. But I think he's played very well. But, you know, I think what is an important takeaway from these two young players, you know, and stepping away from the comparison, is that they both have taken leaps and bounds at the area which was their weakness, right? Crosby came in as a pass rushing maven, but man, did he have problems setting the edge in his rookie season. I mean, some real problems early on, but now he's a pretty solid run defender. No, he's not as good as Ferrell.
No.
But he's not a liability. He is not a guy who you were afraid to have out there on run games. He's not a guy who teams will run at like they were early in his rookie season. And similarly, right, Ferrell started off very staunchly against the run, but his pass rush was kind of not there.
Right.
But he's been working at it and getting better. And so both of these guys, I think it's really, really noteworthy, because it's very easy for an NFL player to say, you know, I'm just going to stick to what I'm good at. That's how I'm going to make my money. I'm clearly good enough to play in the NFL at this, doing this, what I'm doing. So I'm going to focus on doing what I'm doing and just make sure I stick around the NFL. That's not what these two guys did. These two guys stepped out and tried to become all-around players. They tried to improve themselves in the areas in which they had their biggest flaws. And I think that's really noteworthy, not only because they had that drive and that grit, but because they're doing it. They are improving. They are getting much better at their flaws and their weaknesses. And so I think that's really, really important to note, and a good reason for excitement moving forward. I mean, this D-line has a long way to go. You know, we're talking about who the best defensive lineman is. That's a damn low bar to cross for the Raiders.
Yeah.
But they're young guys with a lot of potential. So hopefully one day soon, it won't be a low bar to cross. We'll be talking about which one is better, and we'll be talking about very good players in the process.
Yeah, exactly. And look, I'm not trying to take anything away from Max. I kind of like what I see as an all-around player from Klee. And Max still has some room to improve as far as setting the edge. I mean, he does better, but, I mean, you can go back to that Chiefs game and how much they got outside, and that's because Klee wasn't in the game at all. And so they were able to get outside a lot. And you go back to, well, there's a lot of games that, you know, you see Crosby, you know, trying to chase him down from behind. And I love Crosby's effort. If there's something that he's second to none in, and that's effort, his effort is exceptional. But, you know, he's still got room to grow, and he will. And I think Klee's going to continue as well. So very excited about both those guys. I just, you know, kind of right now, maybe because, you know, Klee has a little bit more leadership skills as well. That's why I like him a little bit more.
Yeah, and that's totally fair. And again, I think, you know, we don't necessarily need to compare the two, because hopefully the two will be developing alongside of each other, complementing each other, and playing on opposite ends of this line together for a very long period of time moving forward. Interesting. I want to talk real briefly about another defensive lineman who was a healthy scratch on Sunday, and I did not realize he was a healthy scratch. You know, Carl Nassib was on the injury report earlier in the week last week. I completely missed it that he was taken off the injury report at the end of the week, and there was a healthy scratch on Sunday. This really confused me, because I actually felt like Nassib was a guy who was finally starting to play a little better, finally starting to show something to live up for his contract. And then Gruden benches him, and a part of the reason in the interview today, Gruden mentioned the fact that Vic Beasley had earned some snaps. And he said that from now on, how players play in practice on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday will dictate whether or not they play in the games on Sunday. And so clearly he was hinting that Nassib did not practice hard enough or well enough late in the week last week, and that's why he didn't get to dress on Sunday. And that's concerning for me, because you paid this guy a ton of money. You know, I get making statements. I understand, you know, playing your best player. But I don't know that Vic Beasley actually produced any more than Nassib would have on Sunday. He barely played. And like I said, Nassib has been playing fairly well this last couple of weeks. So that was really surprising to me. I don't know that it was a good move. I don't know if it was a knee-jerk reaction or if maybe there's more to the story. But that's concerning, because he is a very high-paid free agent. He was the big free agent signing in terms of the defensive line. And his contract is not one we can get rid of next year. So he will be on the Raiders next year, unless they want to have a huge dead money cap hit. So this is concerning that Nassib was a healthy scratch on Sunday.
Well, you know, I'll tell you right now, to me, it was refreshing that it happened, because if he's not going after it and getting after it in practice, then what are we doing here? You know what I mean? Like, I'm okay with it. I'm okay with him being benched. There's something that Gruden said multiple times last week during his pressers about guys in the training room. And you mentioned how Nassib was on the injury report with the knee injury. And he specifically said this about the injury report and the training room multiple times last week, that we got a lot of guys in the training room. We got a lot of guys that we need out there practicing with us that aren't really available right now. We need to get those guys back. I have a feeling that Nassib, as you mentioned, there might be more to this. I have a feeling that Nassib was one of those guys that may have said, hey, I'm a little banged up, I got a knee injury, and was in the training room when he really could have been out there on the practice field. And look, there's guys that do that all the time. You hear it all the time from coaches. You know, you don't do us any good in the training room. If you're injured, that's one thing. If you're hurt, that's another. You know, and I just think that maybe Nassib was that guy, and Vic Beasley was out there getting after it. And you know, it's funny, Vic Beasley was out there on that play when Klee Ferrell got his second sack of the day and his second strip sack, and that was actually Klee Ferrell getting there from the inside. Vic Beasley was on the outside and Ferrell was on the inside, and Vic actually, and this is something that Klee Ferrell mentioned after the game, he said Vic told me something on that play before we even snapped it. He said, hey, this is what we're gonna do on this play, and they did it, and then boom, he comes up with the sack and the strip and caused a fumble on the Jets' Sam Darnold, and the Raiders recovered it, and that was the third turnover of the game for the Raiders, which was big. So I know Vic didn't do a whole lot, and I'm not really counting on him to do a whole lot, but hey, if you don't get out there and you're not practicing and you don't want to go, you know, 100% and give everything that you got, I don't blame him for not playing. And you know, it used to be, well, look at your contract. Well, based on your contract, you got to play. That's how the Raiders of old used to act, where it used to be like, basically, you're on scholarship. Well, he's getting paid too much money to sit on the bench. Hey, look, man, if you ain't producing and you ain't going after it in practice, I don't care if you're sitting on the bench. It ain't my money. I ain't worried about it.
Yeah, so here's where I agree and disagree, right? I agree with the whole theory of, I don't give a damn what your contract is, we play the best player. Part of me has concerns about John Gruden's old school style, right? Because, look, I get what you're saying about injuries and all that. But again, Nassib had been playing pretty well the last few weeks. In fact, the last few weeks, he was one of the better defensive linemen in my mind. And so I understand everything you're saying, and I agree with everything you're saying. But I also think that, you know, there needs to be some leeway given there, especially when it comes to injuries, if that's really what it was. Obviously, we're speculating a little bit here, but if that's really what it was, I get that idea. I get that there are some players who really kind of will you know, take the most advantage that they can to not practice. I get that. I just don't. If that was something that you were concerned about with Nassib, you shouldn't have brought him in the first place. That's something that you should be able to figure out, you know, of a guy who's been in the league for a few years by now with that. It felt kind of to me like this was John Gruden making a statement, trying to, you know, jumpstart his team. And I just do worry sometimes that John Gruden kind of sticks to these old school football kinds of things. And that feels like if it is on that, again, a little bit of speculation, but if that is based on that, it feels like one of those old school football things that won't sell as well with some of the younger guys. But I guess that's always been the case with Gruden. Gruden's always going to be a guy that players either love or hate. But that just, like I said, it gives me pause, especially you spent so much money on this guy. These are the kinds of things like you should be focusing on when you're giving someone that much that big of a payday, right? Are they the kinds of guys that love football, right? John Gruden wants players who love football. Well, then figure that out before you go pay this guy so much fucking money. You know what I mean?
Right. That's fair.
And if you believed he loved football enough to pay this so much fucking money, then have some faith in him if he's saying he's hurt. You know what I mean? So I just to me it felt like. It felt like an old school power move by Gruden. He wanted to make an example of someone, and for whatever reason, Nassib's the guy he did. And I just don't know how well that's going to sell. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it's going to sell great. Maybe the defensive line's going to start playing much better now. I don't know. But that whole thing smells to me like a bungled free agent move and a very costly one. So I'm hoping that it was a 1 week thing. I'm hoping that Nassib is getting back in the lineup and playing, because again, I thought he was starting to play better, and I was starting to feel like, all right, Maybe with a little more time next year, we'll be happy about Nassib on the team. Maybe we're feeling like he was a great addition next year, you know, because I think Joyner has really stepped up this season. I think Joyner is a guy who I'm happy to have on defense this season, despite a horrible year last year. And so I was hoping the same thing for Nassib, but then he benches him, and suddenly I'm really concerned that we're ever going to get much out of Nassib. So we'll see, but that was just something I didn't even realize he was a healthy scratch until like an hour or two before we came on this. So I really wanted to talk it out with someone. So like I said, it gives me a little bit of pause, but hopefully you're right. Hopefully it was the right move.
Yeah, hopefully. I mean, hopefully it lights a fire under him, man. If that's what it takes to light a fire again, I mean, I'm old school anyway, so I know that sometimes a lot of my things I believe don't really go well with the younger players. And I think that, I mean, I can go on and on and on about what I think about some of these players these days compared to what it was. And I get it. You got to change with the times, but I totally agree with the theory. I don't care how much you make if you're not out there busting it in practice again. And then this is why I say that. After the Falcons loss, what did Derek Carr say? You know, hey, there was guys out there. We had a flat practice. We didn't go out there, and we didn't have a good week of practice. And I was very upset that Derek Carr didn't, stop practice, or one of the leaders on the team stop practice and say, hey, this is not the culture that we created, because that's Derek Carr's words, not mine. He said, we created a culture here, and we didn't live up to that standard this week in practice. So I'm in the firm belief that you don't win games on Sunday. You win games Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday while you're practicing. That what you do in practice is what sets you up for success on Sunday in the game. And if you're not going to practice hard and you're not going to go, you know, go 100% and give your team everything you got because, well, I'm just going to show up and play on Sunday and I'm going to go sit in, especially if I'm going to go sit in the training room, you know, oh, my knee hurts. And I'm not saying this is what Nassib did, but this is just my thoughts based off Gruden's thoughts and his what he said last week. If that's the case, man, I mean, that's not okay. You know, you can't do your team any good sitting in the training room if you're not ready to be, you know, if you're not, necessarily hurt, you're just, you know, basically want a day off. And so to me, when I saw a knee injury on the report, and then all of a sudden I saw the report and he was off the report, I'm thinking, well, damn, that knee injury sure went away quick. Whereas a guy like Jonathan Abram, who had a knee injury, he missed the game. It looks like he's going to miss this week. And a guy like Isaiah Johnson had a groin injury and he missed the game. And Josh Jacobs had an ankle injury and he missed the game. You know what I mean? It's like, those were serious injuries. It don't look like Carl Nassib was very serious. And so I'm kind of questioning him. But again, I don't know this. This is me just spitballing.
Yep, absolutely. But like you said, the Raiders do need guys who are going to be going out there and giving it their all the time in the leading of a practice, especially this week, because the Raiders have a very, very tough test on Sunday. If you ask me, this is the toughest test left on the schedule. They will be playing the Colts this weekend. The Colts have a damn good defense, led in particular by Buckner and a former Raider, Denico Autry, who was out there balling. And you know he would love to show Gruden what he was missing out on when he chose not to bring him back. And so this is a big test for the Raiders. Like I said, the Colts are the best team left on their schedule, if you ask me. I know some might say Dolphins. Clearly, it's not the Chargers or the Broncos. But this is a tough test, and it's a good team. Yes, it's an up-and-down team. But this is a team that, again, if you play like you played against the Jets, if you play like you played against the Falcons, believe me, the Colts will hand you your ass, okay? The Raiders need to come out and play strong against a very good defense and a solid offense, right? It's not a great offense. Phillip Rivers is still Phillip Rivers, and you can always hope that he's going to Phillip Rivers away a win, just like he often does for the Raiders. But at the end of the day, like I said, this is a very good team, the best team left on the schedule. And if the Raiders want to make the playoffs, this is going to be a great test to see whether or not they're worthy.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, again, we've been talking about it, man. They got to find, you know, three more wins in 4 weeks, and a big one is going to be this week against the Colts, who are right there in front of them as far as the playoff picture goes. So this could be a double whammy, not only just picking up a victory, but also gaining ground on the Colts and owning the tiebreaker. So, yeah, that's huge, man. They really need to come up with a victory. I said last week the playoffs started on Sunday against the Jets. Well, round two of the playoffs is this week against the Colts.
Yeah, and it really is. You know, I understand that there is mathematic scenarios in which the Raiders could lose one game and still make the playoffs. But I think your mentality is spot on, right? This has to be playoffs now. This has to be one and done mentality, right? Because there is also a legitimate chance that you win 3 of 4 and you still don't make the playoffs, right, despite winning 10 games. But if you win out, if you win the rest of your games on the schedule, you will be in the playoffs, right? Destiny is in your hands. You have that opportunity. Will they take advantage of that opportunity? I don't know, but we'll find out on Sunday. Because if the Raiders show up ready to play, even if they lose in a close one, but they're out there playing, right? And they're a damn good team, and they're showing it, I'm going to feel good about the rest of the season. But if they go out there and they struggle and they lose badly to this Colts team, I mean, it's over, right? Like, it's just not, you know, I mean, okay, yes, technically, mathematically, might have a chance, but what's the point, right? If you're not going to be able to play with a team like the Colts, who are kind of struggling to try to make it into the playoffs, then why even go to the playoffs, right? You're going to get your ass blown out in the first round. So this is a huge test for the Raiders on Sunday. And I think, you know, if they can bounce back, right, not build off of the win, but bounce back to the way that we know that they can play, bounce back to the point where they have the rest of the NFL suddenly waking up and saying, oh, shit, we got to take notice of this Raiders team. If they can bounce back to the team that pushed the Chiefs to the edge, that got the only win against the Chiefs, if they can bounce back and play like that, they will win on Sunday. And they will win most of their, if not all of their games left on the schedule. The question is whether or not they can do that and do it with consistency for the rest of the season. That has yet to be seen.
Yeah, I mean, you don't want them to be that team that, you know, goes out and plays terrible 3 weeks in a row, you know. And look, they did not play good on Sunday. They came away with the win, but they didn't play good. So you don't want that to become a trend. You want them to be able to, like you said, bounce back and play a really good game that we know that they're capable of playing, but they got to go do that. So it's all on them. But they, at least with that win on Sunday, as ugly as it could be, they still gave themselves an opportunity. That they set themselves up for success. They just got to go and take advantage of it this week against the Colts.
Yes, sir. And no matter what they do against the Colts, choke and be embarrassed, or win and give us excitement for the postseason, we'll be here to talk about it on Black Hole Banner. So till then, Raider Nation, peace out.
Yeah, exactly what he said. Make it pop like a tweeter, and you can Twitter that to your listeners. And I'ma take the beat and make green like it's Christmas. So vicious, like Sid with the pistols. Punk's not dead and hip hop is official. BK to Amsterdam, Berlin to Bristol. So I'ma drop it right there on a nickel.
On a quest to invent fire, call me Neanderthal. Who's the man to call to pitch your weight like a medicine ball? Now who's setting it off? Attention, quit pretending. First I rip your tendon, the milk carton, you're like missing children. 1, 2, lunchtime. 3, 4, catch time. Lyrics that I spit.